Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Yes, you are in and you are live. Your phone is lit.
All right, so it looks like I'm on. Gosh, sorry about that, folks. We had a little technical thing going on here. This is the Medium's Torch, and we are here on the 14th of March today, everyone. We're delighted to have you tuning in. This is not going to be a call-in episode. This is going to be an interview. I have a wonderful human being that I'm going to be interviewing today. This is our Vantage Point episode. And to clarify, as I said, this is not a call-in, but do stick around, because she is going to share some wonderful things with us today. I am your host, Lilydale Registered Medium, Kathleen Bolt, and you can find out more about me on my website, mediumkathleen.com, or my Facebook page, Spiritual Medium Kathleen. Being Women's History Month, I've challenged myself to learn more about the women who have been influential in the world in which I thrive, and I invite you to learn about them too. You will find on my Spiritual Medium page 31 days of my little experiment here, where I'm posting my student-like notes about the historic women who in the previous centuries made a difference to spiritualism and mediumship. My guest today, I am going to call her in here, and let's see if we can reach her. We're seeming to have some technical issues today, and I do apologize for that. Let's see. Let's call Nancy here. So Nancy Lobardo is our guest today, and she is a living example of one of the beautiful spiritualists that are still on this earth giving us beautiful benefits from her service. She is a retired detective, a veteran of the U.S. military, and a former law enforcement officer. Her 35 years doing this work is only the beginning, as we know her now to be a leader in our spiritualist community. If you're familiar with Nancy, she is a photographer, a poet. She's also a podcast host, and hopefully you've had a chance to check in with her podcast. She airs it bi-weekly, and it is Enlightening Your Way. It's also part of the Lilydale Podcast Radio. And we're still looking for Nancy here. Let me see where we can reach in for Nancy here. Try to reach her here. Sorry about this, my guests. We got a little silent space there, but I'm still with you.
Your call cannot be complete.
Okay, they're not letting me call through. Let's try something else here. Nancy is a beautiful human being, as I said. She's a remarkable woman. She is a former detective. Some of you may have seen that there. And she is, see if we can reach her. We'll try it another way here. Hopefully we'll be able to access her here and you'll be able to hear some of her great stories.
Hello.
Hi, Nancy. So hopefully everybody can hear this out there in the world. We can't seem to connect you another way right now, but we've got you here. I gave a nice introduction for you, I hope. Okay, good. we're going to ask you, I've got my volume all the way up here, so hopefully everybody can hear you well. Yeah, so you have been a detective. You've done enforcement, military work, all of this for the last 35 years. I was wondering if you could take a moment to speak to some of your experiences there, particularly the ones that are highlighted for you. Do you want to take a moment to tell us all about that?
Well, you were very too kind in your introduction, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Actually, it's 32 years, not 35 years. I started off at the early age of 17 to join the military with my parents' signature. And Corps to go through the Army before they integrated with men and women. So I'm proud to say I'm a U.S. WAC. So that's way cool. And then I segued into civilian law enforcement at the Lawton Police Department in Lawton, Oklahoma. There's a military base called Fort Sill. So it was a natural segue to go from there into civilian law enforcement, where it was just in my blood. It's what I always wanted to do. I was a patrol officer for the first 15 years of my career, and for the last 13 years, I was a detective assigned to a special operations division where I investigated narcotics, sex offenders, human trafficking, just an array of different specialized crimes.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. And did you obviously enjoyed that. You stuck with it for many, many years. I remember you telling me how you got in to join the military. I think some of the people can relate to the inspiration, so maybe take a second to share that with our listeners.
Well, I said it was honestly from watching the show MASH and watching Loretta Swift and the Army nurses running up that hill. There was just something about that scene, and I thought, man, I want to do that. I mean, it just really appealed to me, and the strength of it, and the fact at the time there weren't a whole lot of females in the military, especially in the Army, and I was always one to want to do something that a lot of people didn't want to do. So that was me. So yeah, MASH.
MASH. Wow. Yeah, I know. It was a big deal back in the day to watch that show. It was funny, and the characters were so well worked out, and then they had those moments that obviously are inspiring others to recognize the value of the service. That's wonderful. Absolutely. Now, I have a question for you, because I'm sure our listeners are interested in finding out, well, okay, so I asked for the highlights, but obviously, you know, there were some very difficult things that you had to face in those years. You had to face some negativity and some very unfortunate circumstances. How did you find balance with all of that? How did you get through that? What was your way of coping?
My way of coping, honestly, Kathleen, I mean, when you're a police officer, it's day to day. I mean, because every day you wake up, you never know what you're going to get into. And that was part of what I enjoyed about this job, is not knowing exactly what I was going into each and every day.
Yeah.
And the goal is to make it through that day, because you know whether you're coming home or not coming home. So your goal is to make it home, to deal with each circumstance individually, and get home. So there are so many different things each and every day. It's hard to just specifically say what the highlights were or not.
Yeah. I am. When you were talking, I remember you mentioning that one of the things that may have helped you is to make it through the day was that idea that in the service that you were offering, you recognize people for who they were, and you recognize that there was value in that service based on who the people really were under the circumstances. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I would have to say my motto always was to treat everybody fairly and equally. And you deal with people in their most critical moments normally, you know, and they don't know you, you don't know them, but it's a feeling, and it's a caring, and it's a giving. And it's a knowing, protecting, and I think it gives people a sense of comfort.
Yeah. So when you're doing the service, I had the question to you earlier, and I want to ask again. I mean, we have a lot of listeners here that are spiritualists or spiritual people, and I was curious about where you found faith and where God found a way into your service in the past. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the past here, but I want to just dig into that for a quick second. And I know that Mahatma Gandhi talked about God having no religion. You know, God has no religion. Where were you on that path during that part of your life, and how did things change for you?
And I love Mahatma Gandhi. my mother had that book when I was growing up, so I love that.
Oh, wow.
I was raised Catholic. I was raised in a very strict Catholic house. Mm-hmm. However, when I left at 17, I left that behind with me at 17. It just did not resonate with me. And in all honesty, I was lost for many years. Especially on the police department, I would have to say that religion would have to have taken a back seat. I don't even know what I believed in. Mm. But I can tell you that even if I considered myself to be a bit agnostic, it never meant that I wasn't spiritual.
Right.
Because that's two different things. It never meant that I wasn't trying to live my life the right way and do my life in the right manner. It's just that trying to fit a God into the whole scenario of police work, it was difficult for me. It was just really difficult for me. And therefore, I think I just put that on the back burner because a lot of times I'd be angry, like most victims were angry, like, how could a God do something like this? Or how can a God treat people like this?
Of course.
And it was hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, I bet. Wow. Yeah, the thing that you're saying here that I'm hearing is to be spiritual is about how you live your life and how you are in the world with other people. Am I understanding that correctly for you?
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt. You know, so I felt by my living my life the right way and doing the right thing when no one's looking, because that's when it's most important. It's not doing the right thing when cameras are in your face and everybody's watching. It's doing the right thing when you're out there by yourself and no one's paying attention.
Right. And therefore, it's coming from deep within you, like a drive, like a need, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your core values of how you choose to live your life.
Right. Would you be able to share some of those values that come to mind right away?
Truth, honesty. I'm a very straightforward person. You ask me a question, I'm going to tell you like it is, whether you want to hear it or don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the truth is hard to hear. And I will accept criticism also. You know, you have to be able to hear other people, hear their good things they want to say about you and the bad, and to take it all in stride.
Yeah. Do you find that being truthful and being honest and upfront like that, I mean, it's liberating in its own way, would you say?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It's liberating. But like I said, if you do it always, it just comes naturally.
Right. Right. So being spiritual is how you live your life. Now, I know you've done a lot of service and you continue to do so. So currently you're serving as a minister. You are the president of the Church of the Living Spirit. You are helping out people in the community. You're doing your podcast. I mean, volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. Here's Nancy, right? So this service is something that's really ingrained in you, and clearly it seems like this is part of your spiritual path to be of service. What would you say to other people who maybe don't understand the fullness of what it means to serve? Is there something you could share about the real major benefits that come from being of service to others?
Can I add one thing of service?
Oh, of course.
I really pride myself on is that I'm a listener on a crisis line.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
For law enforcement officers. And I really find great joy in being able to be a listener and help other people through their crises now, being on the other side of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing of service, Kathleen,
is
it gets you out of your own head. We can so easily fall into our own heads of our own problems,
right?
Of how rough we have it, how rough it is, and how are we going to get through this and that. And when you get into the service of others, you can see a whole picture of things, and you can understand that maybe you don't have it so bad.
Right. It is so easy to get into our heads and to get caught in thought and perspectives that really have nothing to do with our spirit, right? Getting drawn away from our service and our hope.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, that is something that I certainly need to keep in mind, because I'm certainly someone that tends to overthink things.
You know, and there has to be a really balance between, because sometimes I could be one of those people that's always a giver, a giver, a giver, a giver, and forget to receive sometimes. So there definitely has to be a balance of service for sure in your life to receive, because we need both.
Right. So how do you enrich your life to bring that balance to yourself?
Honestly, I would have to say that yoga plays a really big part of that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought about practicing yoga. Honestly, when I was on the police department, I started off in Pilates. And as a detective, my caseload became just insanity. And I didn't even know how I could breathe. You know, my head get to the cases, just so many piled high. And someone suggested, they're like, well, why don't you try yoga? And I was like, yoga? You know, like, no way. No way. And I had gone to a yoga class, and honestly, it was the first time I'd even thought about meditating. Meditation was not anything I had incorporated in my daily life.
Right.
And breathing and connect. And I, that first class, I liked it. And it's finding the right instructor also. She was a wonderful teacher. And she brought clarity. She brought calmness. It helped me balance myself, balance my workload, actually start breathing again. And it was a win-win all the way around, just mm-hmm. yoga.
Nice. Now, is there a particular style of yoga that you enjoy most?
I do what is called a vinyasa. So it's a moving yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done that when I was in Oklahoma. And when I moved here, actually, I looked for yoga classes in the area, and I couldn't find the type of yoga that I liked, and that's what encouraged me to go and certify to become my own yoga instructor, so I could teach the yoga that I love so dearly.
Right.
Which I loved.
Yeah. Nice. And if I understand correctly, vinyasa means breath. Is that right? Or I think prana's breath, right? Or life force breath.
Prana's movements. Vinyasa is just the movements, the highs, the lows. The, you know, it's just a moving meditative yoga.
Right. And it does connect the breath with it so that you get that balance of the body, mind, and spirit, correct? Am I understanding that?
Yes, you're totally understanding that. And it's one of those things that kind of creeps up on you. You know, many people feel the same way I did when they first think about taking yoga, but then you see that not only is it a calming as far as our breathing techniques and all that, but you actually get some exercise out of it. And you can actually see some physical effects out of it. So that's also good.
Right. My experience with yoga has been Kundalini yoga, and one of the things they taught us was, because I was taking the teacher's training at one point, and they were telling us that a lot of people find yoga because they perceive it's just an exercise, like that's what you're just saying here, right? You get that benefit for sure. But it turns out that a lot of our souls are calling for this connection that comes through the practice of yoga that the ancients understood through the balance of the body, mind, and spirit through physical activity. So I think it's wonderful that you're sharing this because you're confirming what I was told by someone else, you know, this idea that we can find. And so let me ask you this, because some people are hesitant to explore meditation and yoga. You do this as a passion for balancing yourself, but also you do work yourself. You have your own website and you serve others to protect and serve their wellness through teaching them tools. Using these tools, what would you offer someone that is just considering becoming involved in yoga or any kind of meditation practice?
You're right, because my students, several of them had never meditated before, and it is something I have incorporated at the end of our practice. And I start them off by just telling them to, even if you can find stillness for 30 seconds, because honestly, some people can't be still for 30 seconds. And it's building off of that. As you know, as I do, some of these yogis, they could go for weeks. And it mind-boggles me. It's learned, and it's something you have to learn. It's something you have to practice. Stillness is not an easy thing.
Right. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people think that their mind is supposed to stop functioning when they meditate. And so I hear that a lot. I hear, I can't meditate because I can't stop my mind. Do you have any suggestions for people when that comes up?
I tell them to let their mind wander and then gently tug it back. Because your mind is definitely going to wander. But if you just consciously try to tug it back to your consciousness, to what you're trying to do, even if it takes 20 times of doing that in a minute's time, you're reprogramming and you're relearning. Because, like I said, it is a learned practice to be able to sit still and let your thoughts just be calm.
Right. So that tugging is basically, it's like you're tugging it back, but you're really just like anything practicing. I think that's why they call it a yoga practice, right? It's like we're never going to be perfect right away.
Never. No, we're all individuals. We all are at different levels. And I always tell my students, you do your thing. It's your practice, not mine. I'm just leading you with suggestions of how to do it.
Right. So that kind of lines up a lot with what Carolyn Miss said, that that which serves our spirit enhances our body. That which diminishes our spirit diminishes our body. So it's really important for us to take care of our body and bring that balance forward, isn't it?
It's so important, yeah. And I've been doing it a really long time. As a police officer, I remember I told you I worked those 15 straight years as a patrol officer.
Right.
I worked midnight shift for 15 straight years.
Wow.
And I ate out all the time because there's nowhere to eat that time of night. And I gained a lot of weight. I mean, I gained a lot of weight. And my dad had come live with us the last year of his life. So I was taking care of him through his cancer, gaining weight, da-da-da-da-da. Anyways, after my dad passed, I made the conscious decision to run a marathon. Never running more than 3 miles in my life. I set myself on a schedule and that I pulled off the internet, a 16-week schedule. I followed it to the T. Because I needed to lose about 40 to 60 pounds. And within that 16 weeks, not only did I lose my weight, I ran my first marathon. I found that I was good at it. Even, you know, at 40 years old, found that I had a niche for running distance. And I've been doing it ever since, 20 years running now, distance running.
Yeah, I know in Lilydale you have a reputation for being the runner. Beautiful. And I know a lot of people talk about the runner's high. Do you find running as part of your, again, you know, a return to your spirit, a return to that spiritual sense of things?
Oh, yes. I mean, the endorphins, it definitely relieves endorphins. I tell people that because, as we know, there's all sorts of ways to meditate. And one of my ways of meditating is running. And many times when I'm out running is how I come up with my poetry, many times.
Oh.
A thought will come to my head, I'll see something, and I literally have to start, like, turn my recorder on and say my thoughts because I know if I don't, I'll forget them.
Right.
And that usually starts my poem is when I'm out running.
So do you think there's, like, a mechanism going on in the body where it's activating? I'm just going to say this. I'm not a scientist, but, you know, your right brain, you know, that creative side of yourself.
It's connecting to my right brain, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we all have different ways to do that. So.
Right. But then you didn't need, I mean, you were a police officer for so long, a military officer, a detective. I mean, especially as a detective, you used your right brain a lot, right? You used a lot of intuition and hunches and stuff like that to get through that time. So your right brain was always quite active.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But had you told me this, you know, 6 years ago before I retired, you know, you're using your right brain now. I didn't even know about the right and the left. I had no idea of the right and left brain, none of it. I mean, I've learned all this past retirement and coming here to Lilydale and attending so many classes. I've learned all of it, but I knew what intuition was. I knew what being psychic was,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't understand it, in all honesty.
Yeah. Well, I'll come back to your poetry later, but asking a little bit more about that moment as a detective or those moments as a detective where you're using your intuition, do you have any that come to mind that you can help others understand how intuition works, especially if they're currently embarking on developing their own intuitive sense?
Intuition, interesting. Let me think on that because I'm not sure if I believe that intuitive is... As a police officer, it came sort of natural to me, being
uh-huh.
intuitive, and many detectives, I'm sure, are very intuitive. It's like when we were talking the other day, you know, you don't go into an interview asking questions that you don't really know what the answer might be to that.
Right.
And just watching body language, eyes, having a sense of where they're at and what they're going to say, and it's just all very intuitive, and I'm not sure if that was something I learned or if it was something just I had.
Right. Well, you're a medium. You can be a medium now. You choose not to do it as a full-time activity, but you are a medium, right?
Yes.
Right. So I guess what I'm trying to get at here is what I see in the thread of your life here. I see someone that's been so cross-training, cross-training. Cross-training all these years, you know, somebody that has been focused on service and focused on helping others and doing the right thing and living by your values and keeping a balance as best as you can in those difficult circumstances. And then in all of that, you're developing your spiritual self, you're developing your path, you're opening your conscious mind, you're allowing your intuition to develop, your understanding of not only understanding people involves pattern and experience and, like you were saying about the eye gestures and things like that, the mentalist aspect of things. But deep inside, there is still a connectivity that connects all of us that clearly you are in touch with this whole time. So here's me telling you about you.
Thank you for that. But please understand, as a 9-year-old, I heard a traumatic event in my family. So we had a suicide when I was 9. Oh. So that really affected every part of my life after mm-hmm. that. And one of the reasons why I teach suicide classes to this day, being a survivor of that.
Yeah.
And I was very connected at that time, feeling that my brother that had killed himself, that I could feel his presence. So that mediumship part of me started at a very early age. Yeah. I didn't know what it was, yeah. but that started at a very early age and continued, I'm sure, through my police work. But like I said, I would never refer to any of this as this kind of stuff during my police work. It was just part of my job.
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been extremely difficult on the entire family.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But it also was another reason, I believe, that caused me to go into police work to be able to help people in these very traumatic scenarios that affect them each and every day.
Right. And do you find your brother, I mean, you speak of a mediumship aspect developing at a young age, and that makes perfect sense to me. But when you were working as a police officer, do you ever feel like he was there beside you? Do you have any memory of that? No. Okay.
No. Mm-hmm.
So he could very well have been, but you just weren't aware of it, right?
Right, yes. But I can tell you, you know, going to many homicides, other type crimes, I could feel those present. For sure.
Right.
So I didn't know what I was feeling. You could feel them in the room. You could sense people there right after they had left this earth plane. But I said, I just didn't really, wasn't able to put it all together until after I retired.
Right. Well, you were serving the physical world more, even though you were aware of the spiritual world, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to, exactly right. You have to stay in that left brain.
Yeah. So now, retired, you have this opportunity to explore, right? I mean, you're doing your poetry and your artwork. Now, just getting back to your family situation, if you don't mind for a second, since you've been doing mediumship, have you had the opportunity to connect with your brother again?
He's not someone I'm able to connect with, honestly.
Fair enough.
And you know how they say sometimes they just don't want to be connected to?
Sure.
And that's okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
But I have had, you know, I have, both of my parents have passed, my grandmother's passed, and I've had experience, and several of my partners, honestly, have passed. So I have had connections with them, and that has been a wonderful thing.
Wonderful. Nice. Yeah. And I'm sure he's got the support that he needs over there, the family's there and everything. So,
exactly.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. So your poetry. Yes. I've been enjoying your poetry. You post a lot of your work on Facebook in the Church of the Living Spirit. Well, you're writing in the blog. This was a new discovery for me. You write in the blog of the Church of the Living Spirit. So listeners, if you want to explore more about Nancy and her wisdom, just definitely check out that blog. There's some lovely things that you've written there and your poetry. So, yeah. So are you compiling all your poetry together at some point and offering, say, a gallery or a publication?
To have a book published for sure of my poetry. And it comes quite surprising. I've been writing, honestly. I started writing when I was 9 years old. After that traumatic event, I started writing poetry. So it goes way back. And I actually wrote when I was on the police department. You know, I think I tell you that I don't know where all of these things are at inside of me. You know, call it PTSD, call it what you may, but I think a lot of what I feel comes out in my writing in a different way.
Hmm. Well, would you mind if I shared a poem that I found posted on Facebook that starts with "Stand Beside Me"?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, I love this. I want to share it with the listeners because for me, when I heard this, it totally exemplifies what you're talking about, what's inside coming out. Hopefully I do a good job for you here.
Thank you. I'm sure you will.
All right. Stand beside me and I will see you. I will hold your hand. I will be your strength. I will wipe away your tears. I will laugh with you. Stand beside me and I will know you. I will feel your pain. I will know your truth. I will know your loss. I will know your happiness. Walk away from me, and I will always remember you. I will always see you. I will always feel you. I will always know you, and I will always hear you. And when you are far out of sight, you will always be there still. I mean, it makes me want to cry when I read that. That is...
Oh, you're so kind.
You say so much in such a short amount of time. Beautiful.
That truly does bring back moments of me, of people I've helped throughout my career, people that I will never forget, you know, never forget. I always tell people I'm horrible, horrible, horrible with names, but I will always remember a face.
Yes.
So that's what that was about, for sure. It almost makes me cry. So hearing you read it.
Well, thank you for sharing that piece of yourself, for sure. Thank you. This brings me to address the healing that comes in your service, that you yourself are passionate about healing, that who you are, clearly from everything we've heard today and witnessed, you are a healer. You have in your service, in your dedication, in your faith as you know it. I mean, you clearly are giving healing. Talk a little bit about how important healing is for you, and anything you want to say about your healing experiences.
Well, in all honesty, Kathleen, I believe the reason what attracted me to Lily Bell, because I would have never, ever seen myself living in Lily Bell. That wasn't part of my plan. However, as I think Colleen was even talking about yesterday, it's inevitable, the feeling you feel coming through that gate. There is a sense of healing. There's a sense of something in the air that you can't explain to people. They just have to feel it. Mm-hmm. Because I think what drew me to Lily Bell originally was I needed to heal. I'm still healing from trauma, from my work. So in being able to heal myself, I feel a need to be able to help others heal also. I feel like I have been a healer throughout my career with people. And when I came here and learned about spiritual healing, it resonated with me, absolutely. And I loved the fact of putting hands on healing, moving energy, and people using their own energy through the God of their own understanding. It's a beautiful process, and it does work. And you can make a difference in someone's life in just 2 to 3 minutes time with them. They feel it. They don't quite know what's happening, but they definitely feel it. They feel the love. And I've seen several people, you know, stand up and walk out in tears.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think a lot of us don't realize that healing comes from within us, that the potential to heal is already within us, and it's amplified when we align and don't disconnect anymore from that source of power that allows that to grow within us. Am I on the same page with you on that?
Not only allow, align, but allow.
Ah.
I think allow is a very big word, because you could put blockers up all day long. Blockers,
right.
Blockers, blockers, until you absolutely allow that energy to flow through you and allow yourself to heal, because sometimes we punish ourselves and don't think we have the right to heal.
Right.
And guilt, and all that plays into all sorts of scenarios. And to be able to be accepting of your own healing is not always an easy thing.
So you bring a lot of healing, no doubt, or opportunities to heal, facilitating healing for those on the call-in line, correct?
Yes. I mean, I would think so, yes.
But it's through verbal right? It's a verbal healing process there, right?
Yeah, that's verbal healing.
Yeah, and so I think what we can understand is that healing can be facilitated by the heart of another. And so when we're in Lilydale, and I appreciate you saying this because we have many opportunities in Lilydale for that to happen, either virtually. And yeah, talk a little bit about the virtual thing. I mean, obviously the hands-on, there's nothing like, as I know myself, nothing like being in the presence of love physically and feeling it. But the words, the call in, and we have the Wednesday night healing temple work. You work in the healing temple, correct?
Yeah, yes, many hours in that healing temple for sure. Yeah, and it's just feel I feel my niche is at.
Yeah.
Like you said, I understand I can be a medium, but I feel my niche has always been in the healing aspect of it. And as spiritualists, healing and mediumship are what makes our religion, and they're both equally important.
Mm-hmm. And if people come down in the summer, they'll have that opportunity to have hands-on healing, right? You'll be working there and they'll be able to see you running around, but they can get a healing from anyone that is offering their love to them at the healing temple.
That's, yeah, during couple, the church services, there's several opportunities you can receive spiritual healing, yes.
Yeah, and the season begins, I think it's June 23rd, and it runs through to Labor Day. And they'll have healing opportunities several times a day in the temple. And then you can also have verbal healing if you go to the stump for the mediums that are doing that. Here's some philosophy, and you can hear some talk and inspiration throughout. So, Nancy, thank you for all your service with that. But I want to segue over to your podcast. We've got a couple minutes left here, and I wanted to segue over to what you want to share with us that will help us with our healing, with our own seeking of balance, and bringing our body, mind, and spirit together. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you so much for that. I'm excited that Lilydale has granted me the opportunity to have a podcast. I've called it Enlightening Your Way. It is on Sundays, every other Sunday, and I'm trying to combine my two worlds, you know, my world of law enforcement into my world of spiritualism, and through mind, body, and spirit, a wellness for all of it, because all need wellness in different areas, whether physical, mental. My guest on next Sunday is going to be Patty Stovall, and she is a psychic medium turned activist and also the creator of the nonprofit soundsofsarah.org. We're going to be talking about grief, healing, and the fentanyl epidemic. I was a narcotics detective, so the drug epidemic is very near and dear to my heart, so we're going to have a conversation about that. But my site, wellnesswithnancylombardo.com, it is also a combination of my spirituality and my police work, where I try to educate all the way around, full circle.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so we have put your contact information in the body of the Blog Talk Radio listing below the show episode. So we can find you on your website, like you said, wellnesswithnancylombardo.com. If you didn't catch that the first time, I'll say it again. wellnesswithnancylombardo.com. And as I said, it's listed in online there. You've also got a Facebook page, correct?
I do. Wellness with Nancy. Same thing.
Okay.
Wellness with Nancy Lombardo. Find me on Facebook, or just find me on Facebook, Nancy Lombardo.
Great.
Thank you.
And then Instagram, we've got a podcast, blogtalkradio.com, Enlightening Your Way. So look for the Enlightening Your Way podcast. I understand there's a little change to the podcast coming up.
Well, we're just going to, I had my first episode on a Monday, but now we're going to be permanently on every other Sunday.
Okay.
Starting this Sunday.
Great. And then you have your blog that you're offering us through the President's, it's called The President's Message. It's the Church of the Living Spirit.org. If you go to that website and then /President/Message, we'll be able to read some of the enlightened information that you're sharing with us. And then anyone interested in Lilydale itself, www.lilydaleassembly.com. And Lilydale also has a Facebook page. Just look for, search Lilydale, New York. You can find Church of the Living Spirit on Facebook at facebook.com/livingspiritld. So, yeah, so anything interesting coming up in church that we should know about in the coming days that you want to announce?
Might I say congratulations to you also on your new radio show. I know you're going to do wonderful things, and you got a great voice for it, so congratulations to you also.
Thank you. I clearly need to get some of the technical stuff sorted out, so I apologize to my listeners for that, but I'll get there. It's only episode 3.
Yeah. Nice. I love our church, so, yeah, check us out, Church of Living Spirit.
Absolutely.
Kathleen's a member, so we have a good time, but we also, like I said, learn about spirituality and all of its benefits. And thank you. I appreciate you having me. I can't believe how quick the time went.
I know. It goes so fast, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, just like that.
And I feel like I haven't asked half of the things I wanted to ask you, even though we spent, you know, time together the other day, and I feel like
That's a good thing. But
it's
thank
a beautiful
you so very
thing.
Much, Kathleen,
oh, it's been a pleasure having you, Nancy, and I hope our listeners understand what a beautiful soul you are and get a chance to either connect with you through your podcast, certainly listening in and learning so much, because I'm sure you have much, much to share. And if anyone, you know, needs more insight, I'm sure, about dealing with balance and PTSD and that kind of thing, there are people out there that can help you, people like Nancy, someone local, or you can always probably send, I'm putting this out there for you, Nancy, but they can probably message you and say, well, hey, where do I go for this resource, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
yeah, I have resources, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you need help with anything, you can send Nancy a note. She'd be happy to help you out with that, because it's important for all of us to remember. It's important for all of us to remember who we are and to bridge that distance between, you know, this our soul, our spiritual path, and the life here on the physical, which can be quite the challenge sometimes. And it's so good to have friends. And so, Nancy, I consider you a friend. I am so grateful for you coming on our show, and I want to wish you well with your podcast. Congratulations. And be sure to show up for, invite yourself again to come on. I'd love to speak with you again in this manner and also see you in person again soon. So thank you, listeners. I welcome you to join us again next week at 12:30. Next week, we'll have some more people. We're gathering for Monday Munchin News. There'll be a few of us chatting away. It'll be quite casual. Do join us and check in with us. And I wish you all well. Bless you all. Take care.